Well, if you think back to November, it was a busy month. The elections took place. The holidays started. We had our first snowstorm, and we know where that's taken us this season. We missed an important headline we want to bring to your attention because of its gravity. In November, the March of Dimes, the very well-known not-for-profit organization focused on healthy pregnancy and healthy babies, issued its first premature birth report card, and the United States barely passed with a D. The point is to compare preterm birth rates, babies who are born before they're ready to be born, to the rate of preterm births in 2005, looking, of course, for improvement. The rate in 2005 was 12.7% of all live births. The goal is to reduce that number to 7.6% or better by next year, 2010. Well, there were no states that rated an A. Vermont actually did best with a B. New York fared among the Ds. We should mention we weren't the worst. 18 states scored an F. These grades are disheartening at best, and when we remember they represent babies born with medical problems and health challenges, they're very frightening too. So to help us better understand what they mean and perhaps what we can do about it, we've asked our own Dr. Dave Smith, president of SUNY Upstate and a national board member of the March of Dimes, to help us sift through it. Good morning, Dr. Smith.
Good morning.
I'll confess, I was speechless. I could hardly process because I keep thinking of sick babies, not numbers. Right. It's not statistics, it's babies. What on earth is happening here?
Well, the numbers are very dramatic, and you know, we overuse the term epidemic, but this truly is epidemic. Of course, the reality is that if it happens to someone in your family, a loved one, it's one's too many. So
exactly.
We've got to be careful here, but it's well over 500,000, almost 540,000 babies are born prematurely in the United States. The rates are rising dramatically. We do have a sense of part of what the reason is. And more we're seeing it's what we call late preterm babies that are the problem. These are babies between 34 and 37 weeks. And usually we think...
And what's term?
Term is 40 weeks.
40 weeks, okay.
And of course, what one of our campaigns is give me my full 9 months.
Sure.
And the reason we're saying that is there's complications. We don't realize this, but the majority of babies now in newborn intensive care units across the United States are babies born between 34 and 37 weeks.
And that doesn't seem like it should be too short. If we multiply 9 months times 4 weeks, that's 36.
That's right.
But there are extra weeks in there, and these babies are missing those developmentally. What happens to them?
Well, there's a lot of things happening. Of course, if you go to the most fundamental thing is that a baby's brain at about 34 weeks is only two-thirds of the weight it will be at 40 weeks.
Whoa. Two-thirds.
So there's a developmental issue, and we know the rates of attention deficit disorder are higher in these children. But there's other things that can be life-threatening, and even a week or two early can result in risk. Those include premature lungs, fluid in the lungs, not able to breathe, ending up on a respirator, inability to clear jaundice, the yellow color that babies get, the bilirubin.
Sure.
That is at a higher risk. Infections. And even things such as neurologic problems, including cerebral palsy, are at a higher risk.
And those are things that they last a lifetime. These aren't things they just recover if they're in the preemie unit for a month or something.
Right. Some of these can be a lifetime problem. And so we need to do everything we can on the preventive side. But getting back to the fundamental is that two-thirds of premature babies, in other words, two-thirds of the babies born between, you know, obviously usually 24 to 40 weeks, are in that age range of what we call late preterm. They have significant risk, and there's things that we can do something about it. Well over two-thirds of those babies are the result of what we call medical interventions.
And that means?
Those mean things like an induced labor. In other words, a mother is given an intravenous, a drug is given to them so that they can begin to contract the uterus, and the baby, of course, is delivered under a time frame that has been predicted. And sometimes, of course, is not at term.
Let's explain that a little more carefully, because this to me is the really frightening part. In other words, somebody has planned for this baby to be born early for convenience sake.
It can be at times. The other problem is sometimes we don't get the date quite right.
Okay.
And that is based on the last menstrual period.
All right.
And counting forward 40 weeks. And of course, there's a lot of suggestions we now have to resolve that problem. But it is vital that men and women understand from their physician what is the gestational age of the baby. In other words, how close is that baby to 40 weeks? Mothers and fathers should demand the full 9 months unless there is a medical indication. And there can be medical indications
well, sure.
to go in and rescue a baby
sure.
early, clearly.
But if I'm a pregnant woman And I've gone to my obstetrician who has said, okay, this is X is your birth date. This is the day that the baby should be due. All right. Do I know that's 40 weeks, or is the doctor saying, you know what, I'm going to have a vacation the next week, so I'm going to move it up a week? And I don't want to diss on the doctors. That's not true. And I think that there are many parents who even go for convenience sake. But how can they be sure that this is the right gestational age?
Couple of factors. Number one is ask the question. Physicians know relatively within a week or two of what is the 40-week point. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we're making some recommendations now that two ultrasounds be done if there's any doubt, one in the first trimester and one later on in the pregnancy, which we know can really narrow the window to get a precise and accurate date.
Will insurance pay for two?
Well, that is the big issue. We're trying to work with insurance companies to get the second earlier ultrasound paid for. Family members need to be pushing for it. Businesses need to be paying for this and pushing for it, because if they don't and we miss and we end up with a premature baby that can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, let alone the incredible distraught problem that is created by the family.
Of course, and that's really just a preventive step, isn't
that's
it?
That's correct. Yeah. It's like an immunization against prematurity. But the most important thing is to ask the question. If you have to have a C-section or a repeat C-section, or they're going to induce, I want my full 9 months unless there's another indication. We can dramatically reduce the number of premature babies, the risk, and those individuals, the babies that end up with very serious complications in the newborn intensive care units. This is very preventable. The rates of cesarean section rate in this country have risen dramatically in the last 10 years. And we've really got to do something to reduce that when it's not otherwise medically necessary.
Well, certainly the goal of the March of Dimes is an admirable one, but we've got to work a whole lot harder to start reaching it, don't we?
We really do. And that's something where listeners really can do something. Ask the questions, ask for your full 9 months, because we really can make a dent and we can obviously have healthier babies.
Very good. Well, Dr. Dave Smith, thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Building healthy relationships, a healthy democracy, and a better world, one conversation at a time. Well, dear listeners, let's take a few moments to celebrate. When we, the people of the United States, live up to the ideals in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, our country takes astounding steps forward that can transform all humanity. And whether we agree with all he stands for, by electing President Obama, we took one such breathtaking leap into obliterating stereotypes and establishing a world more just and thus more peaceful. We did that together with our values as a guide, and that deserves a celebration. And wow, wasn't his inaugural address a thing of beauty? Inspiring and challenging with his reminders that it's up to us to keep living our ideals, that while his voice will be leading, us, some 300 million citizens, will decide our shared fate with our words and our deeds. How can we carry this inspiration into our everyday lives to redirect the energy wasted in mean acts of our own petty squabbles, redirect it into solving our problems instead? The challenge, of course, is when we disagree and the feeling of we disappears. When I hear something other than what I want to hear. When this happens, I often stop listening and start trying to convince you I'm right, you're wrong, and you should just give me what I want. President Obama appears to be a master at real listening, extra hard at moments of disagreement for how we might agree. How can citizens like you and I do this when we're both frustrated and we both just want to set the other straight? Well, we might notice that what we have in common that very second is we're both frustrated, and win the first battle inside ourselves by calming that part of our brain that shouts for attacking you with your disagreeable difference. At those moments, what can help is feeling our feet on the ground and taking a few deep, calming breaths. Then remember our values and our shared goals. With those in mind, ask ourselves, do I want you and me to have a good relationship more than my winning this petty squabble? Yes? then find words and deeds that move towards a positive outcome for both of us, a win-win. And get courageous and say them and do them. Imagine how our relationships and schools and jobs and the world would change. So, breathing deep, relaxing, and remembering the praise song of us, I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.